are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
And that was Soul Influence with God is So Good, bringing us to the end of our music takeover and straight into our review of The Great Hope. We're on Chapter 10, which is entitled The Great Rescue. And so we're going to be joined on the line by Pastor Teen Lovu to guide us through what this chapter is all about. We're going to look at a summary of what the chapter is about and, of course, a few lessons that we can get from this chapter. My Pastor, good morning. Welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Pastor. We appreciate your time. Maybe let's start with a word of prayer before we get into the review of the chapter.
Thank you.
Please pray for us, Pastor.
Great. Gracious Father in heaven, we are so happy to be here to discuss and review a chapter, a Great Hope, Chapter 10. We pray for your blessings that as we review this chapter, we may gain a glimpse into what you have prepared for us as your children. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, before we get into some specific talking points, Pastor, would you just give us a review of what the chapter is about, just a summary of what the chapter is all about?
Chapter 10 of Great Hope speaks about the greatest rescue of humanity. In this chapter, we see the deception that ensued from the book of Genesis chapter 3 that has carried on for all the ages, where the devil has tried to subdue humanity with all lies about life itself, about God, about the prospects of humanity. People have lived a life of hopelessness. And we see that many people, God's children, have been like prisoners under the rulership of the King of Darkness. We are so blessed to have this chapter, which then comes up with the promise of God, where God's children are going to be redeemed. If you go to Isaiah chapter 30, you will see that God is promising that there will be a song of festival, a song of gladness, that the hearts of the children of God will be overjoyed when Jesus Christ comes again. The Lord will come with his mighty hand from on high to redeem the children, his children that have suffered for too long. In this chapter, we see a contrast again between the children of God, those who have vowed to serve God under all circumstances, whether of under pain, under torture, under repression, illness, all sorts of evil. Those children of God that have chosen to believe in and hope in Christ will be on the other side, while the mockers and those who are following the deceiver, the greatest liar, who promises life, yet he doesn't have it for himself, they will find themselves in another set. So these two groups of people will be separated at that point of the second coming. So this chapter talks about those. So it characterizes the other group, which does not believe in Christ, as the mob of evil people that will also want to be the extension of the deceiver and oppress God's children. Unfortunately, the rainbow, you remember at the time of Noah, when the floods destroyed the world, the first world, the first destruction of the world, there was a rainbow of hope which God provided as a promise to his children that he was going to save them. This rainbow, unfortunately, the evildoers, when Jesus Christ comes, they will see this rainbow, but it will not be a good rainbow for them. While it encircles the group that worships God, it will be a dazzling a light that scares and also destroys those who don't worship God. So in this chapter, we see that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, will come to deliver his own children. It is always known as the midnight cry when he comes again. In that time of deliverance, the voice of God will be heard it will be heard saying, it is done. If you go to Revelation chapter 16, verse 17, God will announce the completion of his work of salvation, and the children of God will be translated. They will be transformed. They will be changed quickly as in the twinkling of an eye. Their bodies will wear glorious. They will become glorious. They will wear immortality. While those who don't believe in God will have will suffer death. And it's unfortunate that some of our people, our own blood, our own relatives, find themselves deceived, and they don't seem to get to see the light. This chapter talks about the resurrection from the graves, where the dead in Christ shall rise from their sleep. Unfortunately, even those who pierced him, those who had a direct contact with Jesus during his life on earth, they will be resurrected only to see him taking those holy ones home, and they will die after and wait for the punishment that will come at the end. So this chapter talks about a deliverance when Jesus comes again. It also talks about the very event of the second coming, where God will display his power. And part of what it talks about is that too many people who live this today, or who have lived in this world, have neglected to follow God's commands, including the Sabbath of the Lord. They have forgotten that God created this world in 7 days. And on the seventh day, he rested, expecting everybody who was created by him to follow his example of resting on the Sabbath. So the law of God is highlighted again in this chapter. And it appears that people who neglect this law of God will have a problem at the end, because there will be a judgment, and the judgment will be based on the law, and they will be found on the wrong side of the law. So when Jesus comes, the King of Kings, the Mighty Prince, the King of Glory, the Lord of Lords, he will come and silence everything in this world. The only voices that will be heard will be of those who will be shouting hallelujah as they meet him in the sky.
Amen.
So maybe I could end by saying, when those who cried, crucify him, and crucify him, when they see the Son of God coming, it will be very, it will be a very bad and disappointing day for them.
Yeah.
I wish that everyone who hears or has an opportunity to listen to the summary of this chapter will choose to believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior of this world, who will come with the healing in his wings and help everyone who has hoped in him to live eternally. Amen. And be ushered into the city of God, the New Jerusalem.
Amen. Amen. That's beautiful. And you know, when I think about when Jesus comes again, I'm always filled with dread and horror at the thought of being lost after all the time that has been spent preaching about his second coming. That, and worse for those of us who are, you know, actively in the ministry and other people who are preaching and sharing the word, or those who are even listening, who are constantly hearing messages about Jesus coming. Because I've been hearing this message since I was born, you know, you get to a point where it's just another sermon. Like, how long have we been hearing that he's coming soon? You know, my grandfather thought he was coming soon, and my great-grandfather thought he was coming, and he didn't come all that time. So you start taking the message lightly. And I can imagine, I'm always talking to the listeners, and can you imagine the day that that sky cracks open and you see the light of his glory, and you're just like, oh my goodness, it's here, and I was not ready. But I've been told this message for the longest time.
Yeah. You know, God is so, so gracious. Mm. As you would know, God doesn't want anyone's soul to be lost.
Yeah.
So he's giving every one of us an opportunity so that at the end, when he comes again, nobody will claim that they were caught by surprise,
yeah.
that they were, that God did not give them a good chance for them to repent. That God was not fair. So as you would see, how did God allow his only son to even come and face this humiliating death that any one of us would never even want to experience, that Jesus would come and be a substitute for our own lives, that he would replace us at the cross instead of us facing that bloody death. He faces it. Fine, we have our own small share of failures and suffering and pain. But Jesus really took all the pain away.
Yeah.
So the greatest pain has been absorbed and taken and replaced by at least a hope of life. We didn't have even that hope.
Yes.
So if you are living, fortunately, we all live not so many years.
Yeah.
God has already said that 60, 70 years, anything beyond that is too much for human beings.
Yeah.
That is grace. Mm. So we only suffer for a short while.
Oh, wow.
And wait to live for eternity. So 70 years compared to eternity is nothing. So our suffering cannot be compared to the very eternity that we are talking about. So as you are saying, it will be painful for some of us who have had these messages.
Mm.
And it also will be very painful to have had this chance to know that Jesus is our Savior and we spurn him and we don't choose him. And to only find that he is the real deal in this world.
Mm.
That everything else that promised, it seemed to promise life was a false hope. That the only hope we have is in the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
That salvation is only through Jesus Christ. And so even if he might seem to have delayed, that delay should be considered to be grace for all of us.
Mm, that's powerful. I'd never thought about the fact that even the shortening of our years was an act of mercy. I had never thought about it that way. Because, I mean, no one likes the idea of death. So obviously, when we lose a loved one, especially if it's a young person, we're just like, eish, gone too soon. This, you know, the life was cut short and there's still so much potential and all of that. And even burying an old person who has lived for 90 years, it's still painful, even though we know they lived a long life. But that idea that, no, the years are cut short because this world it's not a good place. It's not a nice place to be. And so it's actually a mercy from God to say, no, I actually have something better for you in heaven. So when you sleep, you get to check out of this terrible world. And now you're sleeping and waiting for me to come and take you to the place I'd actually wanted you to be for eternity. So that's a beautiful thought.
Yes. Thank you. You know, if I were to say it, if you go back to the to creation, God created an orderly world that was peaceful, that was harmonious. If you look at Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that world was quite another world.
Yeah.
The whole lot of things that God created there for the benefit of humanity. And then he creates human beings in his own image, in the glorious image of God.
Yeah.
That on its own should tell us a story about how God has envisaged our lives to be.
Yeah.
He created us to live eternally. And that the only thing that I want to put through to the audience here, to our listeners, is that the eternal life that God had intended is still possible. It was always going to be eternal life, but it was conditional. It was dependent on the obedience of the children of God. Right. Even this time around, we have eternal life. If you read your Bible very well, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, we have eternal life. It is in Jesus Christ. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son has not life. So we all have been promised eternal life. It is conditional upon obedience to the law of God. So in Genesis chapter 3, we see there the greatest betrayal. And that betrayal came in through the deceiver, the greatest deceiver, the devil, who disturbed and destroyed the harmony of this world by giving a false promise of life. And that false promise was founded on his statement that you shall not surely die.
Yeah.
But what are we experiencing now? The liar has been exposed. Yeah. People are dying everywhere. Right, left, and center, people are dying of lots of things. COVID came in, tsunamis came in, all those sorts of things. And you can tell that destruction has come and blossomed, and that the lie of the devil has now been exposed fully. Now, what does that mean? It means that since the deception has come through and been seen, and it's now in the open,
yeah.
God is going to close the chapter very soon. This chapter of deception is going to be closed. And many people who believed in the devil will soon see that he was just but a liar.
Yeah.
Where do we find hope in the book of Genesis? Jesus is promised there the seed of the woman, the offspring of the woman, who will crush the devil and the deceiver's head. And that crushing will happen at the second coming. It already happened at the cross partially.
Yeah.
But at the second coming, that will be the annihilation, the end of all of the devil's tricks and the day. Then we will enjoy the sweet savor and the grace of God and be saved into his kingdom.
Amen. I look forward to that day. Now, before we wrap up for today, Pastor, you know, when we talk about the second coming of Jesus, oftentimes it's almost like there's a warning being given, like it's something to be afraid of. So people might prepare in panic, or, you know, we see the signs of the times and we think, oh, what's going to happen now? I remember at my high school, I was in high school when the Twin Towers in America were attacked. And I remember after that, we started going into prophecy and reading last day events and things like that. It was like, now it's about that time. How do we prepare without having that mindset of panic and fear? How do we view the second coming of Jesus Christ and let it impact our daily decisions in a way that is not fueled by fear or panic?
The second coming will be the greatest and the most lovely, the most glorious and sweetest event of our lives. So the we should not fear, because Jesus is on our side. When he's on our side, what should we fear? What should only happen is that we should also know that following God is just about loving him. And loving him ensures that we don't do the things that he doesn't like.
Right.
The simple things like keeping God's commandments, loving one another, living a life of benefit. We want to be benevolent. We want to help others. A life that would make this world peaceful, living well with our neighbors, and not causing pain to anyone, and being a blessing to the neighbor, to everyone we see. If we live a life of blessing others, we are sure to be saved, and we are sure to not have a problem in preparing for the second coming. So if you live your life as a blessing to others, you are enjoying this life, and you are anticipating the eternal life that Jesus offers. So not being, learning to forgive one another, learning to forgive others, learning to live for others, learning to benefit others. It's simple. It's not difficult. It's simple. It's just like you do the right thing for today and do the other right thing tomorrow, and so on and so forth.
Right.
Forget about that these things that seem like threats, where the rocks shall fall and all these things. Because when Jesus comes, the picture for those who are going to be saved, they will never see the other side of wrath. They will only see the grace and the glorious face of Jesus.
Wow.
And they would love to meet with him.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. In closing, Pastor, any final thoughts, any final remarks or points that you want to make sure that we take away from this chapter?
This chapter is a promise that is going to be fulfilled, that death and hell will be defeated. God's children will be victorious. While they suffer now, they are waiting for the greatest moment of their lives, when they will be able to be ushered into the kingdom of God, into the holy city, the New Jerusalem, where they will be given glorious bodies and they will be told, welcome and well done. Those two statements, welcome and well done, you who have been faithful in small things, being ushered into the kingdom of God to meet with their loved ones who have slept, and to meet with the first parents, Adam and Eve, and to see Jesus himself, the Lamb of God, and to see the Father. So we should wait in hope and be strong in the Lord. That's my last word. Let's be strong in the Lord, and we'll sing the song of Moses and the Lamb in the New Jerusalem.
Amen. Amen. Powerful words. Thank you so much, Pastor Ndlovu, for coming through. God bless you and your ministry, and I look forward to connecting with you again sometime soon.
Thank you. God bless.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.